And welcome to episode 3 of Webinars Unfiltered. Today we have our usual suspects. So we have Chris Hopper and Rachel Charlton. Rachel's our head of new business and marketing, and Chris Hopper is our marketing. You're not marketing, you are sales development manager. I'm going to keep that in though, because as we say, this is all unfiltered, unedited shenanigans that we have here.
It's fine,
as you do with webinars from time to time. So if you're new here, as you'll see, this is unfiltered. We don't edit or cut this. We are here to answer your questions about webinars and online events. We will answer anything from our own opinion and the expertise that we have here in the room. So we have me, I've got about 3 to 4 years now within webinars. Rachel, you have over 7 now, complete veteran. Yes. Hopper, I think you're on about 5, are you not? Coming up to 5?
Something like that.
Oh, 5.
That's staying in.
Mine will probably do that.
Rachel, while my dog is barking, I'm going to go over to you for saying what Webinars Unfiltered is about.
That is fine. So Webinars Unfiltered are where we discuss topics that you guys are talking about across forums on the internet. We like to have a little sort of rummage and to see what kind of topics are popular at the moment, what you want to discuss, what people are asking. Can we provide a response? Well, not necessarily respond in the actual forums because there are that many, but we actually thought let's just transfer the answers into a topic that is discussable between us three on a webinar and share it that way instead, just to kind of get the message out, and albeit three very different opinions on said topics probably, because as we've mentioned, Chris Hopper is very much a business development approach. I'm very much kind of a sales qualifying perspective approach, and Natalie also sees it from a marketing approach as well. So Natalie, are you all right there?
I'm all good. We all have dogs here, we all understand, and I'm sure people in our audience also have dogs and have this happen to them as well. So that's okay.
Door behind that looks like there's a ghost coming into the room when that's
low, and I shut the door this time because I was like, he's gonna sleep in his bed, it's gonna be fine. Anyway, but no, Rachel, that's perfect overview of what we do with Webinars Unfiltered. And today we have a pretty good question around pre-recorded versus live webinars, but I'll let you both hear it now. So the question is, hi folks, my clients want to do some virtual town halls, which I equate to a fancier version of a webinar. They're throwing out various platforms. Yeah, no, that's what it says. They're throwing out various platforms to go live from, but I'm concerned for unnecessary risks that can damage the presentation, such as internet issues, a slide not working, mic issues, and whatnot. My proposal was to pre-record everything, put it into a video, stream it live to multiple platforms, and engagement on the platforms accordingly. What's the benefit of going live that you found? I should mention what we're hoping for is one host slash moderator, and then 3 main panelists and 6 guests. So that's in a nutshell. So really, I think what we should talk about here, which could be quite useful, is town halls, internal, external, and then benefits of live, benefits of on demand, and maybe we can touch on semi-live, which we do quite a lot of here at Workast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sound good? Yeah. Perfect. Okay, so Rachel, I know you have some thoughts on virtual town halls.
Yes, and town halls are an interesting one. I guess what I'll do is start by going through kind of the points that this person made, because it attests to some of the points that I was thinking about. But understandably, they are saying that they're concerned for unnecessary risks that can damage the presentation. I would also say presentation slash reputation as well. Internet issues, slides not working, mic issues and whatnot. So one of the main things with town halls to consider to begin with is the location that you're hosting that event at. Is it a new building? Is it an old building? Do they have wired internet? Do they not? Do they have ports? So on and so forth. The main thing, if you are considering doing a live broadcast, is you would need to do a site test. That even being said, if you do pre-record an entire town hall, you would still want to do a site test with the equipment that you're going to use, or at least consider that, just to make sure that even the power is good enough within that location that you're doing it from. The other thing I would consider as well, now, internet issues, it's not always the on-site location of the town hall that you need to consider. It's the network that you're streaming it on. Now, is this town hall for, is it internal communications or is it external communications? Because that can be completely different. So what you need to think about is if it's internal communications, are your attendees all on VPNs? Are they all using the same network? And if that's the case, does that network have the capability and the bandwidth to support that potential level of streaming to those people? You need to think about, is it possible to group people in the same location within an office building, and or are they at home? And if they are at home, are they required to be on a VPN network that might not necessarily be set up to receive said stream? If they are on a VPN, ask them to come off the VPN if that's possible. Or alternatively, they can potentially attend the town hall on their own personal devices as well. So there's quite a few things already there that you need to think about when we're just talking around about the internet issues. Now, as long as you do your due diligence, a live town hall can absolutely happen. We see it all of the time. It's just making sure that you do take into consideration those due diligence steps at point of planning as opposed to the point of delivery. That's one thing that I would say. Hopper, I don't know if you've got anything to add on that point.
You're on mute, Hopper. This really does show what it's like to record one of these.
Yeah.
Okay, while Hopper's fixing his audio. Let's chat a little bit about, I guess, benefits of live in the first place, because I can understand why the client of the person asking this question would want to go live. And I think the number one, are you back?
I'm back.
Yeah,
you are back. Okay, well, put pause on me on benefits of live, and we'll head back over to you, Hopper.
All right. So one of the things I was thinking about really was doing some practice runs as well with the AV team there. Make sure all the equipment's up to scratch. So maybe this would be a day beforehand, or even ask the person in charge of the town hall if they've run events like that similar in the past, get an idea about like what the sound is going to be like, how your audience is going to react to it. So it'll be a nice idea to get a little bit of a breakdown before your event. But ultimately, I think Rachel's hit on a lot of great points there. A lot of it is just about doing your due diligence of like understanding, like, is this content going to be, can you just like display this content in a more efficient process, or does it have to be a town hall event? Because you've got to think of the rental costs as well. You can bring all this down as well just by implementing a live event through a webinar. Because these can get quite pricey, and getting everyone into a location at the same time can be a bit tricky. Obviously, it's great for everyone to be there, but if you just want to get out that content, maybe a live webinar that they can watch on their own time where they can be more engaged in it could be more beneficial. But you can see the pros and cons of both, really.
Mm-hmm. Taking back the reins then. Benefits of live. Because I think, as I was saying while you were fixing your mic, Hopper, live, there's loads of benefits to it. I think we all know there's benefits to it. And we talk to our customers, potential customers, about this all the time when they're trying to decide which type is best for them. The first one I can think of, and I'm sure you'll both have ones to add of your own, is if you're really wanting that engagement on the day, and if you're counting on that to be a main factor of your webinar. So for example, I'm assuming for a town hall, you're going to want to get feedback from the audience, or they might have questions of their own. Mm-hmm. And that is something you probably will not get if you do on demand, like pre-recorded, because you won't be able to have that on the spot engagement, unless you have someone sitting behind the scenes answering questions that come in from the audience. I don't know what you two think about that.
I would agree. If you want to do live and you want your live event to be able to address some live questions from your live attendees, then yes, do that, because if you're wanting to have heavy input from a live audience and capture that live engagement, then naturally you would go down the live route. There are ways in which you can still do that though, in a roundabout way, and I think we'll get to that towards the end of this point. But yeah, if you're definitely wanting to engage live with your audience, for example, they send questions in, you have either a Q&A midway through or at the end of the town hall, then yeah, because the online audience will know that they've submitted a question and that question is going to be answered live by the panelists and by those who are speaking within the town hall. So they'll know that it is absolutely live. The other thing as well is that if you want to get feedback on the town hall as well, you're likely to get a higher response rate if you push out polls during the live event to your live audience as well. So there's absolute benefits of a live broadcast. We definitely don't want to deter from a live broadcast at all. It just comes back to the due diligence of the testing beforehand, really. But Hot Brad, I don't know if you've got more to add than that.
I was gonna add the point of the polls, surveys, questionnaires to like the online audience, because it is a great way of data gathering. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you can ask questions to a live audience as well, which will be it. But to get everyone's assessment of the event, a poll or a survey would be a great idea to like to implement throughout that process, so it, like you can gain that data and that knowledge from the whole audience and not just from like a select few where you're answering questions direct from that audience.
The other thing I would point out, it depends on how relevant your topic is to the day that you're broadcasting. Mm-hmm. So a complete example, if your town hall is, obviously town halls can happen quarterly, they may be on stats, they might be on revenue, they might be on the wider economy, for example. Obviously that changes day by day. So if you pre-record something, even within a day, your information might actually be out of date. Let's say, for example, your town hall is very, very heavily influenced by the general election. That is changing on a day-to-day basis. So it is imperative, probably in those scenarios, depending on what macroeconomic environment that we're in, you may have to do it live because you may want the information as up-to-date as when you are even live broadcasting in case any bulletins come through. So that is another massive benefit to doing a live broadcast, that you know as of that second your information is up-to-date. So that's another really good benefit of doing things live.
No, I agree with all that. And I just wanted to quickly go back and pick up on a point that this person said. Mm-hmm. And it's really just about the concerns that they have with live. I think we should really quickly discuss before we move on to on demand. Yeah. So they're concerned about things like internet issues, slides not working, mic issues, things like that. And I think what I really want us to quickly address is just things can go wrong. And I think let's have a quick chat about what could go wrong, ways to fix it. And I think one of the first things I really want to quickly say is like, how accepting do you think your audience will be if things go wrong? Because sometimes mistakes can make you seem more authentic, more human. Yeah. So for example, my dog barking, about 5 minutes ago, like it happens to everyone, happens quickly, you move on. But I think it depends on the topic as well. If like people are like, oh, like this is a bit unprofessional. I think you really got to think about that as well.
I think it's forewarning people as well. It can sometimes take simply just a note, just a little note on the
sweetie chairs, mic issues. We've got a lot.
So we're just things that can go wrong.
Even having like little waivers or just notes on, say, the registration page that you use to get signups, or the pre-event emails that you send to your registrants, just to say, please note this is a live broadcast. It could even be something like there may be a slightly delayed start depending on the on-site progress, so on and so forth. And that's not to say there are issues. It's just rightly to what you've just said there, Natalie, everyone is human and you cannot predict what is going to happen on that day specifically. So it's just forewarning people it happens with the BBC, the amount of times when they're transitioning between national news to local news, there's sometimes blips between those transitions as well. So it's just making people aware that it's live and these things do happen, but for them to just be kind of like that, that is natural to expect it, but it will go smoothly.
Sorry,
just to add on to that point, I think limiting the risks by having a strong EAB team there during that a town hall event, and from as on a hybrid section, having a strong moderating team who can really analyze like the back end of the whole of the broadcast. That's what like we offer, like a managed service, because we know how important these events are to like companies to look professional. They want a grade one setup. They want a fully unique experience for their attendees, and which is understandable because they could be paying thousands upon thousands for an event. And
And I think
to have that security of knowing like the back end's sorted and there's an AB team there ready to go in the front.
And have a plan B as well. And plan Bs don't need to be expensive, but to allude to the points of slides not working, make sure you've got people who have, make sure the copy of the slides are shared between separate people with separate devices, so they have separate copies of that slideshow as well. It is similar with, say, mic issues. Make sure that you have backup microphones. You never know when technology is going to decide it just doesn't want to work that day for whatever reason, which way the wind has blown. So it just
make sure that
so make sure that you've got backups ready in there, and just make sure you've got a plan B. It doesn't have to be an expensive plan B at all, but it's just thinking of those little granular details, I think.
Really quickly adding on to what you said there, Rachel, about like having multiple people having like the slides, even adding them to like a resources section if you can, if you're fine with people looking ahead, so just in case worst case scenario no one has access anymore, you can direct your attendees to a resource section, they can read through it themselves. And to add on to the plan B and like what you were saying, Hop, with having people good on like the front end, is with your presenters maybe prepping them a little bit for like, if this happens, you can fill with X, Y, and Z. These are kind of pre-prepped things that we can say or like push through to like an auditorium. And another thing, like just to add on as well, Hopper, to the managed service aspect, no matter what kind of company you're going with for something like this, check to see what their support levels are. SLAs, how quickly you think you'll get response, because if you're on a certain tier of plan, no matter who you're with, it's probably going to be a certain level of support you will get. So if you're wanting something speedy, make sure that's included, if that's a concern for you. I'm glad we touched on that, because I know sometimes people have concerns and I'm like, let's answer them over here. Does anyone else have anything to say on that before we move on to on demand?
I think I'm just going, I'm honing in on that last question that they have though, in terms of what is the benefit of going live that you found. As long as you do your due diligence, a live stream will be as good as watching Glastonbury. It's just about having the right team in place.
And hopefully your town will be as good as Glastonbury.
Your audience might be a bit different in Glastonbury.
A few drinks into the show. Great. Okay. No, I think there we can summarize them as well. In our own resource section for what we think the benefits of live are. But moving on demand, because I do think this person is making quite like a push for on demand here. For those who are anti on demand, shall we give some reasons why you should be potentially open to on demand?
I would go simplicity from a case of already having that pre-recorded content there done. I like to run my webinars that way. I just feel like, because I make a lot of mistakes. Sometimes I gravitate to a point and I'll keep going and going and I'm like, oh, where am I? And next thing you know, I'm completely lost and I need to start again. So for a more shy presenter or someone who does go on a tangents, having that pre-recorded content already done and give you a peace of mind knowing that all you have to do is just launch that. And in a hybrid format, you could then still go live at the end to answer any questions, so you can really gain that knowledge of like what's people been asking throughout. And but there's also that case of just having that on-demand content already done, and just launch it on the day. That's it. You know that everything's all set. There's no mic issues then. There's no audio issues. everything's all being checked and prepped and done. Don't know if you want to add to that, Rich.
You're completely right in what you're saying. On demand, there's definitely benefits. It depends on how you want the content to look. Everything that you can do in on demand, you can do in live. But it is taking that element of risk, element of nervousness, element of human nervousness out of it. Within a live broadcast, you can still stream in additional bits of media, so you can do pre-recorded video within live, etc. But when you're doing an on-demand recording, that just gives you almost the element of time to play with. If you want things to be a little bit more polished, a little bit more seamless, that recording something to be on demand just gives you that little bit more flexibility around a polished finish. I do like it. I'm not against on-demand. I think for whatever reason, I've just got it in my head, the relevancy of the information, that it may slightly be off depending on the day that you're broadcasting, etc. But yeah, there's absolutely nothing wrong with doing it on demand, especially with town halls. Depending on the industry that you work in, you may have no choice but to pre-record the content because it may need to go for approval as well. And that's one main thing we probably haven't touched on, actually, is that the approval side of things. If you do something live and someone makes a mistake or they say something wrong, it may hold you liable, and nobody likes to be held liable or taken to court or put into jail. If you pre-record things, it definitely it gives you that opportunity to sense check everything, get it all approved before either just making it available on demand or pushing it out as live across the platforms that are said there. And this is again just me alluding to the different when he mentions multiple platforms, he or she mentions multiple platforms and streaming and engagement on the platforms accordingly. Just think about how many platforms you're going to be streaming it to, because that is potentially a lot of platforms to manage during a live broadcast as well. I would bear that in mind. That could be 3 different platforms with 5 different engagement tools on each. Like, that could get overwhelming, so you may want to streamline that down. Just a thought, digressing, sorry.
No. And just while you were saying, I was like, how many people would you actually have monitoring these channels? Like, do you need how many screens will you have for this?
The question actually says one host/moderator, so with 3 main panels and 6 guests, so that is a huge like lineup and everything else to do. So that's for one person, that's going to be a really tough job, especially to get the real success that you want out of an event like that.
You'd need a very, like, I think, not well seasoned, just someone, I guess, with the personality and charisma to be able to host that and be able to move people along when you've got that many guests.
Absolutely.
But we're talking about on demand and I'm digressing. We're not talking about panel discussions. We should do one on host best practices, maybe.
Yeah.
As our own topic chosen. Trying to think if there's anything else I need to add for on demand that neither of you have covered.
It's hard, isn't it? And I think it's because we're so entrenched with our own platform that gives you a lot of opportunities, whether it's live or on demand. We have the hybrid option, which I know you're going to touch on shortly, Natalie. Yes. So I think we know there is an answer to this problem. But again, live and on demand, they both have their pluses and minuses.
Mm-hmm.
Live, if you're comfortable and confident, perfect. And if it doesn't need approval. On demand, perfect if you don't need information relevant on the day and you need approval for things as well.
Mm-hmm. On demand is good for complimentary content after live. Yeah. Complimentary to your live, so people who've missed it can join.
Sorry to touch on that. I think a lot of what people miss as well is, like, they all have different solutions for different fits. So they'll be using something for the live stream, something for the on-demand, something for the initial broadcast, and then something else entirely there to oversee it, where it's nice if you can just get an all-in-one solution where you know, like, all right, I'm running this whole thing in this one platform. That can save you so much time and effort as well. Yeah. So you're not just going, oh, where am I? What am I doing? Mm-hmm. Simplifying the whole process down to something like that.
Yeah,
I agree. Great. Okay. The final thing we're going to touch on here, which I think we can all agree is maybe the best of both worlds for someone who's maybe a bit concerned about things going wrong, but also wants the live element, is SimuLive.
Yes.
So who wants to tell us what SimuLive is? Harper, I'm giving it to you.
Yeah. So I am the king of SimuLive because I run every one of my events pretty much like this. SimuLive is when you run out a pre-recorded content. It can be in video format that you launch on a specific time, a specific day. That would then play out, and then you have the option as well to go at the end to answer any questions live. So that can simplify, like I said, a lot of my webinars, but ultimately helps a lot of like presenters deliver their content a lot more professionally because they know like everything's being done without mistakes.
Yeah. And what you're saying there, Chris, is a SimuLive, but a hybrid of SimuLive as well, because what the other option that we've got as well is a pre-record where you upload an MP4 file to our platform that is set to actually automatically broadcast at a date and time and from start to finish. And you can, as moderators in the background, if you want to respond to questions and respond to questions that come through from the audience via the chat function. Because as I say, that option is a from start to finish MP4 file play out. What Chris was alluding to is that we do have a live scenario whereby you broadcast the webinar live, you can play back an MP4 file, but the playback actually allows you to potentially do a live intro if you want, but then also a live outro if you want to as well. And as Chris alluded to, you could actually then come in and use webcams or an RTMP stream again to take the questions from the online audience that have came through. So there's two formats. There's two different formats in your life that you can do. So Natalie, as a marketer, what's your opinion on it, I guess?
My opinion on it is that I think it gives you a huge amount of flexibility. So I know one of the things that a lot of people sometimes struggle with when they're planning a webinar, a town hall, whatever you are planning, is getting everyone in the same room, getting everyone at the right time. And I think if that's something that you are unable to do, this can certainly help with that. So say, for example, there's a portion of your webinar town hall where you want a certain speaker to come, but they can't be there live for that time. You could do SimuLive, you could run everything live, and then you'd be like, okay, we touched base with so-and-so earlier on, this is what they had to say about this. And then you can play their video and then you can come back, discuss, and then move on to your next section. And I think it's also great if you are a little bit nervy about doing a full presentation beginning to end and you think you're going to miss something, to do it your live intro, run your actual webinar, and then come back at the end, because then you know like a lot of the pressure will be taken off for the middle and you just need to do your intro and your outro. So I think it definitely has its pros. I think as a marketer, one thing I'll say is the flexibility, 100%, that I love that it gives you.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting one as well. SimuLives, for example, are really good for the likes of product demonstrations to make sure that they go really smoothly. And I think SimuLive also works really well for town halls that might have sensitive content that need improvement as well. So there's pluses and minuses to everything. I feel like we've gave people a big long checklist of what they need to check depending on what industry they're in, what is the content, what do they need to check, is it a webinar or is it actually a live stream from a location. So there's a lot to think about, but once you've done it, it's fine. It's like water for ducks back.
I think what we can do for this episode of Webinars and Filters, I'll link in the resources section some blogs that we've got on SimuLive, live, on demand, and we can do it together, like maybe a little checklist, since we have talked about a lot of things you should check, as you rightly said, Rachel. But better to check than be unprepared later on and then be like, this is going wrong. Great. Okay. I think that answers the question. As per usual, we like to keep these short and sweet. Does anyone have any final words on this?
No. Don't be scared. Do it. Just do it. Try both. Usually town halls are quarterly. There might even be more. There might be less. But try them in different methods and see what works best for you. We can only advise and provide some guidance. But experiment and don't be scared. Just go for it. Just do your due diligence.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, like, if we were actually speaking to this person right now who had the client, we would just basically tell him his options and not let the client kind of dictate exactly what's going to happen. Because you got to remember, like, you are the professional, you are the one who's seen thousands of these events, and you have the knowledge and wisdom and the guidance to put their event in the best possible stead. And that's what we like to do at WorkCast, is help our clients. And even if we're not the right fit, we completely guide them into what would be best for them. I think that's just the due diligence that we put in as a team.
Brand integrity, brand reputation. And that's for you, it's for the client, and it's for the platforms that you use as well.
I think know when to ask for help. Like, know your skill set, know where your gaps are. And if you are going live, which we've kind of said the pros of already, if you've got a gap in a certain area, fill it. So that you're kind of assured that it will go smoothly, rather than flapping on the day. You're going to take off your branding so much. Excellent. Okay. Another question down. So thank you both, as per usual, for joining me for this. We don't have a topic next for our Webinars Unfiltered episode 4. Oh my God, we're going to be on 4. So if there are any topics that you'd like us to cover, or if you have any questions of your own, let us know in the Q&A section and we will be checking that. But if not, we will do some scouting and find another one. Enjoy your day, everyone. And I'll catch you next time.
Thanks, Natalie.
Bye, y'all.
No problem. Bye.